Welcome to Hollywood, Minnesota, the show that looks at the links between the land of 10,000 lakes and the motion picture industry. This show aims to highlight the way cinema is a part of Minnesota's artistic and cultural heritage through interviews with local filmmakers and film festival coordinators, as well as profiles of Hollywood figures with Minnesota roots. On today's edition of Hollywood, Minnesota, I will be speaking to Olga Lesepakova, a former Winona State student who is currently a reporter and producer at WEAU in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Lesepakova recently won a regional Emmy Award for her work on the short-form documentary Aviation Storytellers, The Tail Gunner and the Navigator, which was produced by North Metro TV in Blaine, Minnesota. Olga, thank you very much for joining me today.
Thank you.
And congratulations on the Emmy, by the way.
Thank you.
The Emmy you won was for a documentary film called Aviation Storytellers, The Tail Gunner and the Navigator. What can you tell me about that?
Well, it started originally as a big documentary on aviation, and we wanted to grasp, you know, what aviation is all about, and kind of went around and just filmed all different people, different things, and everything that we could possibly get our hands on. Ended up with about 8 terabytes of footage, which is a lot, and so we decided to cut it down and make little mini-series about individuals, kind of combining them. So that was the first film that we ended up putting together, which is a 30-minute mini-documentary on a tail gunner and a navigator of the B-17 World War II bomber.
What is the story here? What is the documentary about?
The story is about two gentlemen who are who were in World War II. They both flew on a B-17, Fortress of the Sky, I think they call it. Just kind of their story of how, you know, we started with their roots, kind of showing that they're born and raised in Minnesotans, and then kind of where life took them from there on. Both survived combat, have many stories to tell, and, you know, just fascinating gentlemen, just true characters that you just want to listen to. I think that's the story is really about, is capturing their stories, so we're telling their story in a way.
You won your award for editing and cinematography. So what did you shoot on?
Most of the B-roll that's used in the film I shot. A lot of the B-17 footage in the air was shot by me too. Incidentally, it was one of my first shoots with the company that I started. Actually, it was the first shoot that I ever had. Just kind of put me on the plane, gave me a Canon 7D, and we're like, you know, shoot away. And they just had, you know, I had an amazing time flying on the plane, and you know, got to capture whatever I could see through the windows, and all of the beauty of the plane inside too.
Were there any unique challenges to shooting on an airplane?
Yes, especially that all of a plane. It doesn't feel like a normal plane just because it's extremely loud. You can't hear anything, and it's very shaky too. So you constantly had to prep yourself in the way where you can still capture the still image, so it's not terribly shaky. And of course, there's not much room. It's not a very open plane. It's very closed off too. So finding those unique pictures that, you know, can be usable was a challenge as well.
And then what did you edit on?
I was one of the people contributing to the main storyline, which is piecing the actual interviews together. The film is edited in a Verity style. It's a Verity style documentary, which means that there's no voiceover. So the entire story is told by sound bites. So I think it was one of the most challenging things for us, is to be able to combine those two guys. They're from Minnesota. They both flew on the B-17, but they're completely different people with completely different stories. So it was the challenge of fighting those little parts where you could piece it together and say, you know, they're very different, but really they're very alike as well.
So how did you come into this production?
I got involved in the project before even I was part of WEAU. I was hired right out of, I interned there right out of college. They hired me in June, and that's part of it, you know, being an intern is kind of what you do. You help out on shoots and you go, you know, places, and that was one of my first shoots on the B-17. I kind of stuck around through entire summer looking for jobs, applying for jobs elsewhere, and kind of continuing my TV path as well, journalism path. And so they hired me as a part-timer once my intern hours were up. And that's it. I became a part-timer there about, you know, a year and a half ago, closer to 2 years now, and just stuck with it. I got a job at WEAU, but I just loved the project. I was with the project all along from the very, very beginning of it. So I just really wanted to stay on and continue work there aside from my job in Eau Claire.
What's the name of this company?
Well, technically, I work for North Metro TV. It's a public access channel, but I work for the outreach production department of theirs. Part of the outreach program is they kind of got enough money to start this documentary that the director-producer, who is employed by North Metro as well, wanted to pursue. So that's how we started on that.
I understand there's a second part that you're working on?
There's a third part, actually, now. As I said, originally, it was supposed to be a big documentary, and just because of the amount of things that we grasp right away, we realize that, you know, it's not going to work it will work eventually, hopefully, but it's just so much right away that we had to cut it down. And the first film is out. That's the Emmy nominated one. The second one actually is almost done, almost ready to be shown. It's called The Collector, and it's about a gentleman who bought a majority of the planes in Blaine, Minnesota, and they're one of a kind, you know, in the world, old planes that he restored and kind of has them displayed at Blaine Airport. And the third film I'm working on right now, which is doesn't have a name quite yet, but we're working on the B-24 pilots. They're not all pilots, but people who flew on a B-24. So it's going to be very similar to the B-17 guys, the tail gunner navigator, but we're working with about six individuals on this one versus two.
Is there a place where our listeners can see these films?
Yes, you can actually. All of them are free. You can go ahead and check them out. The only one online right now is The Tail Gunner Navigator. It's on YouTube. You can just Google that. The second one is coming out this week sometime. I'm not sure. We're still in the finalizing stages. And the third one, hopefully by the summer, by end of May, we'll have it out.
Why don't you tell me a little bit about the Emmy experience?
Oh, I don't know if you can describe that. It was definitely a shock. We were up against many wonderful, you know, we were up against Fox Sports North. We were up against TPT's Wildfires documentary. So it's just really an awesome number of fantastic, outstanding filmmakers and their work. And this is our first project. It's the first Emmy for me. It's the second Emmy for the director, producer Damian Kusian, who put the whole thing together. It was fantastic. I mean, when we made it, you know, first into the nomination list, we were just thrilled. And it was more of a, you know, this is great. We've done our best, and this is fantastic. I just hope for the best. And, you know, the moment they call your name or the project's name at that point, you just, everything goes away. Like, everything kind of just melts. And you look around, and everything's a slow-mo. And it's absolutely fantastic. And, I mean, the whole night, we were crying and laughing and, It was extremely emotional. It was beautiful. And, you know, it's a feeling that I don't think you'll ever forget.
I noticed that you actually have an Internet Movie Database profile, and that on that you are credited as a costumer on Mixed Blooms, which is a web series. What can you tell me about that?
Okay. Well, as a college kid here at Winona State, I got an opportunity to intern for a filmmaking organization in Los Angeles. So I moved out there for 3 months throughout the summer between junior and senior year. And that was one of the freelance gigs I kind of landed. I worked for Filmmakers Alliance, which is a nonprofit that kind of provides a helping hand for documentary/independent filmmakers. And through them, I kind of landed a few gigs, and that was one of them, Mixed Blooms. I was brought onto the project. It's a mini-series, web series, about this family of, you know, different races and how they kind of mix in together. And they own a flower shop. So I was wearing a bunch of different hats on that set throughout the summer. But one of them, technically I was a customer, I was in charge of like making sure that everyone's supposed to be wearing what they are. But I did some, you know, booming, and I did some camera, and, you know, helped out more of a production assistant position too.
The theme I keep hearing from you in your experience is that you do a little bit of everything. Do you find that's an essential trait for people coming into this field?
Yeah, I think you can say that. I think that the more experience you have, the better you're off. Eventually, I mean, to really be successful in this business, I think that you have to eventually come up with something that you're best at, because I think that's where all the recognition is and where satisfaction is being good at something very specific. But to get there, I feel like you do need to wear many different hats, and you have to be ready. You have to get experience, and you have to be ready for when life throws you a chance that you can take it, because you have the skill base to, you know, support that.
Now, you graduated from Winona State in 2012?
Yes.
What kinds of things were you involved in that really prepared you? I noticed you were the National Broadcasting Society president. You had worked on the campus News 12. You'd done the internship you've talked about. How did those things give you the skills that you needed to take on these paid jobs or sometimes unpaid jobs?
Right. Well, again, it comes down to, you know, as much experience as you can get. And it's really hard when you're in college to know exactly where life is going to take you right away. So I personally like trying everything, and it really helped me, you know, being in charge of all different things and working in different things and doing a little bit of PR and advertising and, you know, shooting, reporting, all of that. You know, being able to put your hands in a lot of things is an opportunity that you don't really get much outside of college. So I think it's very important for others to you know, being able, or for young people who are still in college, to take advantage of those opportunities.
Now, in your biography at WEAU, it says that you hope to direct your own documentaries on social justice and humanitarian rights issues. What mm-hmm. particular issues are you interested in?
One of the issues that I've been interested in for a long time is prisoners, kids prisoners in Palestine and versus Israel, and kind of the tension there. I studied abroad in London, and I actually ran into a couple people that were really passionate about the subject. I think they're from Finland. They're sisters, three sisters that's done a lot of work there, and they go every single summer and fight for rights of Palestinians because their children are imprisoned way too young of an age. They can go to jail at 12, 13, even younger than that, you know, and be tortured and abused. And where the other side, you know, it's clearly stated that it's supposed to be 18 years old of age is when you're supposed to be in prison. But, I mean, there's a war there, clearly, and there's a lot of things going on. But I just kind of, that issue was brought to me about 3 years ago, and I was fascinated by it. And I never knew about it before, you know, living here in the States, and just kind of learn a lot about it. And it's just something that I would definitely wanted to share with the world someday.
How do you see yourself moving from where you are now to getting into that?
That's a good question. I really don't know, but, you know, I'm gonna keep working on this and hopefully develop, you know, a bigger skill set of where I can do many different things. And hopefully throughout the way I'll meet people and, you know, I'm going to be able to share my passion for certain things and move forward and pursue something that I've had my mind on for past, you know, 5-6 years. Mm-hmm.
This biography I was supplied with also indicates that you are interested in working on feature films. What kinds of feature films, or is this just something abstract at this point?
I don't know. I'm not sure how to answer that. I guess it is more of an abstract thing. I don't have, like, a film in mind, or I haven't written anything, or I haven't been thrown a script in, you know, of something that I wanted to work on. But I think a first step would be making my own documentary. That would be a dream come true. And then if that would lead to, you know, other bigger motion pictures that I could be a part of as a producer, or any other role, any other hat that I could wear, I would definitely, you know, be just beyond me. If I could do that, it would be fantastic.
I'm curious, what films or filmmakers do you find inspirational, or do you find as role models?
I watch a lot of film in general, and, you know, especially this Academy Awards season, I've watched almost all of the nominated films.
What are some of your favorite films?
I love Pulp Fiction, which is Tarantino. He's a little out there. Definitely not my style, but I can maybe think of documentary film that I'm... Well, Ken Burns, PBS, I mean, that's, you know, someone you can definitely look up to. He does all sorts of things and such a big variety of things, too, that's not just one subject. And he does a lot of nature things, but there's just not one subject that he covers. There's lots of different things. So I guess something that inspires me is a lot of, I watch a lot of History Channel, a lot of Nat Geo. Maybe that would be a way to answer your question, where you don't necessarily know a filmmaker behind it, but you know what they've produced and what those channels stand for is kind of what I want to be able to do, because, you know, I think that documentary film especially is a way to learn. It's not just, you know, it's not just art. It's not just a film. It's a way for people to, you know, being able to see something they've never seen before, an issue that's brought to their eyes that they can learn from or, you know, get passionate about, participate in. So there's lots of different opportunities. It's a way to, you know, connect to history. It's the way to learn history. It's the way to look in the future and kind of learn about that world and about present, what's going on in our lives right now today.
So for our listeners who are perhaps Winona State students or younger, or people who are older who just want to get into filmmaking, what advice would you have for them?
I would say your degree is what you make it, would be one of my answers, just because I graduated with broadcast journalism degree, and, you know, it led me on a completely different, I mean, sort of in the same way, but in a different path, and that's the route I want to go in the future, too. But the skills that you gain are in this department are so fantastic, and it's a skill set that you can use in all different areas and in all different things, so I think it's important to... you know, again, take advantage of that and learn as much as you can. And then another thing is, you know, there's in this business, I think there's no job that's above or below you. And by that, I mean that you might have to, you know, go through unpaid phases and go through internships and do things that you might not like. And you might think, wow, this is not worth my time. But really, in the end, I think it really is. And you run into a lot of unpaid, a lot of internship and a lot of other things in this field. But you just have to stick with them because the way you should look at it, I think, is every single, it's like climbing a ladder. So every single step you take is going to take you eventually to that final stage of where you want to be. So don't look at it as one step. And don't say that, oh, this step, you know, sucks. I really don't like it. This is not what I wanted. Think of it as a goal. This is just something that helps you to get up one more step and another step so you can get to your desired position.
Something I like to ask all of my interviewees, and you're fairly new to the industry, but you've traveled around a lot. I'm curious what you think is unique about Minnesota and the Midwest in terms of filmmaking and storytelling?
Well, I think the industry is really nice here. I've been to LA and I've been to, you know, I interned in London too, and I didn't really connect with the industry there that much. But from my experience, Minnesota is extremely friendly and people do want to help you. People do want to teach you and pass their knowledge on to you. So all you have to do is just be patient, work hard, and listen. And I think that's what makes Minnesota so unique, is that people are actually, they're listening to you. And even if you're young and you don't have much experience, you're respected in that way. As far as storytelling, I think Minnesota has a lot of unique stories to tell. And I think a lot of times it's overlooked just because we're really far up north and we're not necessarily thought of as the, you know, a big film industry. But I can assure you it's not true, because if you go to Minneapolis and St. Paul, we have TPT that produces, you know, original content, unlike many other PBS affiliates in the country. So we have an extremely, you know, strong department there. And there's a lot of freelance work. There's a lot of things that are happening in the Twin Cities that people might not know about, but it is true, it's happening. So I think there's a lot of different opportunities and a lot of different subjects to tell stories on about Minnesota, historically speaking, or even, you know, even now and today.
That concludes this edition of Hollywood, Minnesota. Thank you to Olga Lesepakova for joining me today. You can find the documentary Aviation Storytellers, The Tail Gunner and the Navigator, online at youtube.com. You can also find Olga on Twitter at WEAU McHale, that's WEAU MICHAIL. This program is made possible by a grant from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. I'm Nathan Wardinsky, and be sure to join me next week for another edition of Hollywood, Minnesota.